Humanity has been given a final warning to act swiftly on climate change. This is according to a major new report out today from the IPCC. The world's leading climate scientists say this decade will be crucial in establishing whether we stay within the irreversible 1.5 degree temperature rise. Greenpeace says the report is a wake-up call for our government, especially given its recent climate policy bonfire. Amanda Larson is the group's campaign manager, and she joins us now. Kia ora, good morning.
Morning, Akorin.
I mean, what's significant from this report is just reminding the world that it can be done, that it is not too late, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's still a rapidly closing window to secure a livable future for everyone on this earth. But I guess the point is that we're the last generation that has the chance to do this. I mean, I've got a one-year-old daughter at home who, by the time she even understands what climate change is, it won't be possible for her to do anything about it. And I think there's a lot of parents like me who are thinking, right, this is our window of opportunity, and we need to, you know, push our politicians this election to take that fast action on climate change before it's too late.
It is going to have to come, though, from the public, isn't it? Because the politicians aren't too keen when the rubber hits the road with the cost of living. We've seen that only in the last few weeks. We see it with the delays around implementing tough measures on farmers that haven't been done yet. So.
Yeah.
Where are the are you confident that any politicians are going to have the resolve to see this through?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The public pressure is what it's going to take because, you know, we've known about climate change for 30 or 40 years. It's not about a lack of knowledge about the issue, and it's not even that we don't have the solutions. We absolutely do. The problem has been that, you know, politicians have been lobbied into inaction by polluting industries like fossil fuels, like intensive dairy, and what they need to do is to stand up to protect people from the risks of climate change instead of bowing to lobbying.
Have the solutions for dairy, for example? I mean, the dairy industry is trying. There are lots of small measures and mitigation measures and all sorts of new farming techniques that are coming on board constantly, but there isn't really a silver bullet yet when it comes to mitigating the emissions from our key industry, upon which we base a lot of our living standards.
I mean, the reality is that there are too many cows in New Zealand, and the dairy industry produces huge amounts of superheating methane and nitrous oxide, which are cooking the climate faster than carbon dioxide. And there is a solution, which is to move towards more plant-based and ecological farming methods. And there are lots of farmers who are doing that in New Zealand at the moment. The challenge.
How would you do that? How quickly? I mean, just give people a sense of it. What are you saying? How much would you have to reduce the cow herd size by? How quickly? And how would you make that transition?
Yeah, so we need to halve the dairy herd, and the way
halve.
To do that. Yep, absolutely. And there are other parts of the world that have done this, right? Like there's a state in India called Sikkim, which over a 10-year period has moved towards organic farming. And that's about providing the support for farmers to make that switch. So it's removing the enablers of intensive dairy.
Hang on a second. So you're saying halve the dairy industry, which would be billions and billions of dollars in lost income to New Zealand. Would you buy the farmers out? I mean, how would you compensate them? How would that work?
I mean, at the moment, the industry is very geared towards producing low-value milk powder, right? So there's a way to do farming differently, which produces higher-value products that gain a premium on international markets. And moving towards plant-based organic farming, I mean, that's where the future is, and that's what customers overseas want. So it's not necessarily the case that this is going to be a problem economically.
I'm just thinking practicalities of such a policy. How would you make that transition? How quickly? I mean, if you were to halve the dairy industry in New Zealand, that would be a significant hit to New Zealand's earning capacity in the world. It would be felt. How would you practically do that in a short space of time?
I mean, the flip side of this is more extreme weather, right? And what we've seen with the recent floods and Cyclone Gabrielle and the drought is that climate change is having enormous impacts on the food growing industry. We've seen whole harvests wiped out.
Understand what you're saying. People can see that we saw the cyclones. We understand, and we see the reports from the UN about how critical this is. I'm just curious as to how the practicalities, because that is the issue here. Everyone wants to make the transition, but it's how quickly we can do it and how practical it is.
Yeah, I mean, we have a 10-year on-ramp, right? And with the right measures to support farmers to make that change, it is possible. We have seen in other parts of the world that it is possible. So you just need to work to phase out those enablers of intensive farming.
So should we buy that? Should the government, the state, buy the cows off the farmers? Would that be the way to do it? Because that is, I think, what has been proposed in the Netherlands, although there has been an almighty political backlash there.
No, I mean, like I said, it's about phasing out the enablers and then providing support for the transition. So, for example, providing organic composting facilities, providing market access for new high-value products, providing extension services to train farmers in different ways of farming. You know, there's already people who are doing this and who are sharing knowledge within the farming community, but it's about government support to make that scalable across the entire sector.
Interesting stuff. Thank you very much for that. Amanda Larson there, the group manager for Greenpeace.